One day God speaks to Noah. Noah, he says, I want you to build another ark. What, like the last one? Asked Noah. Yes, replies God. Except this time I want it to have 14 decks. And shall I lead all the animals into it? 2 by 2, like last time, asked Noah. No, this time I only want you to lead fish into it. Noah's a little bit puzzled. Just fish, he asked. Yes, says God. In fact, just carp. Just carp? Why carp? Noah quizzes. Well, says God, I've always wanted a multi-story carp ark.
Please don't encourage it.
I wonder how Noah felt as he looked around at the world God had made. We've seen that fantastic depiction of the story this morning. I wonder how he felt as he looked around at the world God had made. Things had really taken a turn for the worse during the days of Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God by eating the fruit that God specifically told them not to eat. It was now many years later, and since then, things really had gone downhill. The Bible tells us that the world was full of bad thoughts, bad deeds and violence. Yet Noah and his family were righteous people, trying to do what was right and good. How do you think he felt? How do you think you would feel? Scared? Sad? Afraid for yourself? Afraid for your wife and for your family? There Noah was, minding his own business, when God spoke. Build me an ark, he said. I wonder how Simon Peter and Andrew, and then James and John were feeling just before they met Jesus on Galilee's shore. First two were fishing. The second two were getting ready to fish. Maybe they were fixing the nets, ready to go out. Maybe for Simon, Peter and Andrew, they'd had a bad night. Few fish to sell. Maybe the tax man was after them. Maybe the market for fish wasn't very good. And so they'd had a fish surplus. And eating fish for breakfast, dinner, tea and supper had become just a little bit tedious. Maybe James and John were complaining about the state of the lake, the rocks that regularly rip their nets, the cost of repair, the fact that career prospects weren't very good for fishermen. Maybe they'd heard about fantastic things that were happening in other parts of the country. Maybe they were feeling a little bit sorry for themselves because nothing ever exciting happens in Galilee. But then God, through Jesus, spoke. Follow me, said Jesus. I wonder how you and I are feeling today. In some ways, things haven't changed very much since Noah's times, or the days of those fishermen. Like Noah, we might be feeling that the world's full of bad thoughts, bad deeds and violence. We may, in these days of Brexit and Trump, of terrorism and war, of persecution and hatred and selfishness and pride, we may feel scared, we may feel sad, we may feel afraid for ourselves and for those that we love. Or, as I was speculating before, like those fishermen, we might be suffering financially. Or we might be feeling that we're getting nowhere, in a dead-end job. Prospects of promotion are gloomy. Exams are looming. Relationships may be on the rocks. Nothing ever seems to go right. And it's into that mess that God speaks. So, God spoke. Noah built an ark. Not an easy job, as we heard. It had to be big, almost the size of an aircraft carrier, people think. It had to be built miles from the sea. And in those days, when people really did live to a ripe old age, it would take about 100 years to build it. And also, what would the neighbours think? But nevertheless, Genesis tells us that Noah did everything just as God commanded him. So, Jesus spoke, "Come follow me," he said, and those Galilee fishermen at once left their nets, and they followed Jesus. Would it have been easy? I think not. I think not for a multitude of reasons, but as Matthew chapter 4 verse 22 tells us, immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. So, what about you and me? What would your reaction be if God spoke to you tomorrow? Maybe you were in the office, or in the staff room at school, or on the shop floor, or in the classroom. While you were out walking the dog, in the car, while you were watching TV. And he said to you, come, follow me. Would you and I be prepared to leave our home, our job, our family, our comfort zone, and at once follow him? I'm sure we'd be able to make 1,001 and more than that excuses. What about my fellow? What about my friends? What about my commitments? And what about my job? What about my money? For many of us, there's that constant struggle to earn enough or to save enough. Much of the stuff that we watch on TV is to do with earning loads of money or becoming a big business tycoon. Think of quiz programs that we see quite frequently, like Pointless, Deal or No Deal, The Chase or The Dragon's Den. It's all about doing things better for yourself, getting a better job, getting more money. But how would we cope if God's call to us was to follow him to Africa, like our mission partner Alison Colbert? Or to the Philippines, like Steve and Debs Taylor? I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. There was once a rich man who was near death. He was very grieved because he'd worked so hard for his money, and he wanted to be able to take it with him to heaven. So the rich man began to pray that he might be able to take some of his wealth with him. An angel hears his prayer and appears to him. "Sorry, rich man," he says, "but you can't take your wealth with you to heaven." The man implores the angel to speak to God to see if he might bend the rules. And the man continues to pray that his wealth could follow him. The angel reappears and informs the man that God's decided to allow him to take one suitcase with him. Overjoyed, the man gathers his largest suitcase and fills it with pure gold bars and places it beside his bed. Soon afterwards, the man dies and shows up at the gates of heaven to greet Saint Peter. Peter, seeing the suitcase, says, "Hold on, you can't bring that in here." But the man explains to Peter that he's had permission from God and to ask God, and God would verify his story. So sure enough, Peter checks and comes back saying, "You're right, you're allowed to take one carry-on bag, but I'm supposed to check its contents before letting you through." Peter opens the suitcase to inspect the worldly items the man has found too precious to leave behind, and exclaims, "You've brought paving slabs." Think about it. I'm reminded of my first visit to our partner church, St. Paul's Siongila, which is in rural Kenya. It happened in 1995, which is a long time ago. And many people around Siongila live in poverty, without basic amenities, and often without enough food. Yet despite that poverty, I was met everywhere with the huge smiles of those at St. Paul's and the churches nearby who'd heard God's call to follow him. You can see some of them in the picture on the screen. I want to introduce you to David. Here's David with his wife Mumbai and their two children. The eldest child on the right is called Andrew and the other one is called James. When David was a young boy, his parents died. His brother moved to live with a foster family and he lived with his aged grandmother. Those of you who have been to Kenya, who are part of the congregation here, will have met David. He's part of St. Paul's Church. This is what he had to say about when Jesus called him to follow. Jesus spoke to me when I was in dire need. His message, come and follow me, meant taking a course towards the divine direction, abandoning all earthly desires, and believing in Jesus as Saviour. My grandma, who I lived with, believed in witchcraft. I was struggling with what she almost made us believe in. Jesus came to take me out of that. To me, I was like a sheep without a caretaker. He became the shepherd of my life. Now I know the right way to go, the right way of life, by following Jesus. David went on to college, then to university to study theology, and he's now back at home. And what he's actually doing is carrying passengers around Kitui town on a motorbike, which actually St. Lawrence has bought for the youth of St. Paul's Yongila. And as he takes his passengers around, it's called a Boda Boda driver. Boda Boda are sort of bicycle taxis or motorbike taxis. As he takes his passengers around, he talks to them and witnesses to them and tells them about Jesus. Noah, Peter, Andrew, James, John and the other disciples, Alison Talbot, Stephen, Deb Taylor and David were just ordinary people. They are just ordinary people with ordinary life problems like you and me that God chooses to speak to today. For Noah, his job was to build an ark. For the disciples, it was becoming fishers of people, joining Jesus for the rest of his life and beyond, seeing miracles worked, the hungry fed, the people healed. And that message is the same for us today. Jesus says, come, follow me. If you're feeling lonely and scared today, afraid about those you love, Jesus says, follow me. If you're worried about career prospects, in danger of losing your job, or of that exam round the corner, Jesus says, follow me. If you're concerned about someone who's ill, or you're ill yourself, or worried about money, or going through relationship problems, Jesus says, follow me. If times are difficult, he says, come follow me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Weary, that's another part of Matthew, in Matthew 11. To other people, he says, come, follow me, and I'll take you on a new, great, fantastic adventure. And to others, he says, come, follow me. I want you to serve me just here at St. Lawrence's in Biddulph, just where you are. I wonder if Jesus could be saying to you, come, follow me today. Amen.